Okay, folks, we'll take advantage of the opportunity. I want to thank everyone for being here. I'm not sure when the last one for the season is going to be, whether this will be the last one or next week will be the last one. At some point in the summer, it will be the last one, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get started again afterwards. So let's get started. We got some exciting things going on here. There are three exciting questions this week. One, I think, has already gotten one person in the room nervous. One actually will make some of us laugh, but actually contains a certain element that's critical and crucial. And the third one, I think, was actually the funniest of the three and is a legitimate question. I mean, all three are legitimate questions, but this first one was like, I couldn't believe it. Let's start at the beginning. Fellow calls me and tells me the following. My nephew is getting married in California next week. The entire family is staying for Shabbos Sheva Brachos, except me. I need to be in New York for Shabbos, which means he's going to be 3 hours ahead, right? So my sister, the boy's mother, is pretty upset and wanted me to speak. I do this entertaining, speaking, singing, Grammen type of thing, and she wanted me to do it at one of the meals. So I came up with a thought. What if I could set a phone up to an answering machine from before Shabbos with the volume set all the way up high, and at the time of Shalashudas in California, I'll be doing Malab Malka in New York. Could I just phone in my speech with actual musical accompaniment? Is that okay? That's the first question. Second question. Sorry, Scott. We'll get you a little bit nervous over there. This week's Parsha speaks about a group of people who got punished because they had a desire for meat. I look around today at our restaurants, at our homes, at our kiddushes, etc. And I think that the desire for meat then was quite understated. Is it mutter to indulge sometimes? And if not, why do our kosher organizations certify food that is clearly indulgence? I was in Muncie recently, and I saw a goose, $500, in the freezer case. Why do our yeshivos make such lavish meals for dinners? Is there a halachic problem with any of this? That's question number two. And of course, question number three, because of the time of the year, my kids finished school this week and were excitedly screaming, no more pencils, no more books, as they ran out to the car. The faculty, too, was screaming at the top of its lungs, no more pencils, no more books. And they seemed pretty excited about the prospect. And then I got up to the parsha and I saw that Rashi cites a Tanhuma that suggests that children running from school is not the best of images. Just to fill you in a drop, Rashi, the parsha begins on like this big high upswing where everything seems to be going great for the Jews. And then it says, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. They left Har Hashem. And Rashi says, quoting this Medrash Tanhuma, Ketino Kaboreach Mibei Sasefer, like children running out of school. And from there, the parasha takes a very, very strong downswing and a downturn. And the rest of the parasha, it does not exactly have the Jews in good places. In fact, we have a little hint to this because right after we see Vayisume Ar Hashem, we have this upside down nun situation, like where it said we read the parasha Vayibin Soa Aaron, and it's almost like the parasha's like, wait, no, go back the other way, like the salmon swimming upstream, right? That we, you know, we're trying to get into the situation. So anyway, this person realizes that, and the person asks me, what do I tell my kids about the last day of school? What am I supposed to tell them? It's a little bit late in most of our school systems, but not important discussion nonetheless. So again, for tonight, three questions. We have the guy who wants to phone in his speech. He wants to just phone it in on Shabbos, which is not Shabbos for him. We have the people who want to know how you can go to a big yeshiva dinner. I'm not speaking about any particular yeshiva, because at all the yeshiva dinners, there's always a lot more food that goes out afterwards to other sources other than your belly. And there are people who go to the tables laden with plates on, you know, both arms in about as many different ways as possible. And then we have the person who wants to know what to tell the kids about running out of school. So what do people want us to deal with? You want to deal with number one. Okay, so I'm going to deal with number one, because there's an absolute vote. We'll start over there. Okay, so we got the following situation. The husband, the brother of somebody whose child is getting married is in California. right? And he's supposed to stay for Shabbos Sheva Brachos. Everyone else is a family staying. He's supposed to do his shtick, right? And he can't do his shtick, right? Because he has to be in New York. So he comes up with this idea, what if I phone it in? I'm not going to break Shabbos, because for me it won't be Shabbos anymore. I'll set it up from before Shabbos like it's an answering machine loud. Everyone will get real quiet. You can imagine the scene, right? It'll be nice, quiet. People will sing it. And then out of the blue, you hear this voice from beyond. He says, this will be the greatest opening to one of those types of speeches where you expect it to go one way. And he wants to know, is it mutter? That what do people think? What goes into the shalit? Go ahead. By the way, I didn't prep him in advance. I don't want to. He's answering honestly, just like everyone else. Okay, so the first question is there a question of whether a person will fix it? It's an interesting point. We'll see how that fits in. Okay, anyone else? Something? Maybe there's nothing wrong with it.
People call it just wrong.
Right?
It's a common practice of the Torah because maybe the issue is the music.
Okay, let me backtrack. So Josh throws something on the table that he took as a given that may not be a given. He says, what are you talking about? People call it the Torah all the time. So from Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's a problem with the music. Yeah, or maybe those kids who are calling it in, they may be not be doing what's ideal. We'll figure that out, but we'll have to suggest that.
Same problem that somebody could pick up the phone because.
Yeah, well, so Marvin is now building off our own suggestion that, wait a minute, you have to start thinking about that. Anything else we have to take into account? Yeah?
There also have to be a disclaimer that the sister informs everyone that the brother is calling in place where it's not shop. It's not like he's in California.
Why? So it's a question of people are going to think that.
More like Mara Sozin.
Right? Okay, but the practice, I hear, very cute. Okay.
We used to do that in Israel. When we were in Israel, I used to call my family and the answering machine went on. And I used to say, hey, everybody, I'm Shabbos
Shabbos. So we'll get back. I'll tell you guys a funny story in a second. That Aaron's already laughing. Yeah?
Is it any different for, I'm sitting at my Friday night meal on Shabbos and I hear the phone ring in my house? And, let me hear who that is.
Maybe no. We'll have to figure that out. I'm asking you first. Then we'll take it apart. I have different people pointing out different things that could be a problem. So you should just know, Aaron's laughing because I have a brother who is quite musical and another brother as well, right? And so the one that's not identifiably as musical likes to compose songs that only get sung in the house, right? So 1 year my birthday fell out on Shabbos. He lives not in the immediate time zone, and he called, and he made sure to call in the middle of the meal. So we're all there, and in his beautiful voice that only the family gets to hear on special occasions, he sings this whole song about happy birthday that he composed with his own lyrics, and he says, you can't pick up the phone because it's Shabbos by you. And so, in a certain sense, I'm glad my son's here because he's never heard my reaction to whether that is something that should be done or not. But it's funny, you'll be able to report back to your uncle to figure, it's one of my brothers, right? So to say whether, you can go on while you're Torah and go check out how my father just trashed you all over to anyone who listened, to those eight people who listened to you on while you're Torah. My mother, seven times, and then one of my siblings, whoever it happens to be, especially when Aaron tells them, listen to that one thing. Okay, anything else we need to consider? Yeah?
It's sort of like putting the timer on to watch a ball game. It's not in the spirit.
Well, so we'll get into that. And we may have to, obviously, once again, we may have to bring this right back into a long-standing machlokas that exists that may wind up bringing us right back to where? 1391 North Avenue. Everything comes back here, because that's where we are. We'll see what happens. Let's start at the beginning. The first thing we're going to talk about, I'm going to start with Aaron's comment. Because Aaron's comment fits within a greater context. And the greater context is something that you've all been tapping around in the Isser of Hashma'as Kol. There's an issue, the Gemara says in Erevin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that there's a machlokas about making noise on Shabbos. So this too is funny, right? So the Gemara mentions Ula. Ula says if you make any noise, whether it's musical or not musical, it's asa to make on Shabbos. So if you go over and you knock on the door, right? The Ula says, if you do that on Shabbos, by definition, that's usher. Rabbah comes along and he says, what are you talking about? The only time we have a problem of Hashmas Kol is if you make the noise to a beat, to a tune, if it has musical aspects to it. We'll see why in a second, but the Rif, the Rashba, and the Rambam all say that we paskin like Ula, they all don't paskin like Ula, which leads to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Lamed Ches Sif Aleph to point out that it's Derech Negina, it's only when you make the noise in a beat, in a pattern, only then is it going to be Aser. And why is that? Why is that going to be a problem? Because, as Aaron said correctly, it may lead to a person, Shema Yisakein Klishir. If you know, the whole issue of Hashmas Kol, of making noise, is that a person may come to fix an instrument. And so we make a concern lest the person come to fix an instrument. If that's the case, just knocking on the door, right, is not going to lead a person to such a situation. Yeah, go ahead. Very good. So what if I'm banging on the table to a beat? So this is a much bigger discussion that we have to go beyond this moment. In the short of it, if you bang to a regular beat, right, that could be a potential problem. We happen to paskin not that way, right? Well, I shouldn't say that. We don't stop people from doing it, right? That doesn't mean that we should do it, right? Certainly one thing that we should be careful not to do is, you know, when you go to the bar mitzvahs, and so the four guys were drinking water out of four different glasses, and the speaker, usually the rabbi, is speaking too long, or the grandfather. So you take, you know, the one guy takes his finger and he sticks it in the water and he starts, you know, rubbing it around the different glasses, because if you do it, you know, with different levels of water inside, you get
music.
Right? That is a halachic difficulty on Shabbos for sure, because you're being misakin and klishir. That would be a very major difficulty. Sometimes when you see people take out the spoon, right? So they bang. So as you can remember from, you know, it's Befeirish a Muppet movie, right? The third Muppets movie, that Kermit the Frog, even when he was already an amnesiac, he realized that if he took the fork and he banged it against three glasses, that made a melody. So you see from that sometimes taking your spoon and banging it against water glasses, this could be a potential problem that comes up in Hilchos Shabbos. So this all comes together into our discussion over here. But even though that's the opening kind of shot that we have, which would lead one in a certain direction, let me read the next sif in the Shulchan Aruch, because it's relevant. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Yesh matirin lomar la'akum lenagin b'klishir b'chupos. In the old days, people got married on Friday, which meant that what would happen as a result? Your Friday night meal was also the wedding meal. So the halacha was, in the olden days, there were the tour was quotes the Rabbi Yoh, gets quoted by the Shulchan Aruch here, who says you can hire Bruce Springsteen to play at your wedding. You can't hire Shlomo Carbach to play at the wedding, but you can get Bruce Springsteen. You can't get Billy Joel. Right, but you can get Bruce Springsteen, because Springsteen and Goldstein are not from the same background, so people have to remember that. So if you get Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band to play at your wedding, so according to the tour and the Rav Yoh, there's no problem in such a situation, right? Now the Ramah and what's the basis of the heter? So the Mishnah Berurah comes along. I'm sorry. What?
The drummer is Jewish.
Oh, okay, so then you need a replacement for the drummer.
Wasn't that also
the
you can't have music at a wedding?
Wait, hold on. Very good. You're asking very good questions. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, what's the basis over here? The basis over here is the fact that, what's our concern? Our concern is, like Aaron said, our concern is that you're going to be misakin klishir. Okay, he doesn't have a problem fixing it. He doesn't have to keep Shabbos, in fact. He's not allowed to keep Shabbos, right? So therefore, what are you worried about? You don't have to worry in such a situation. And certainly, says the Mishnah Berurah, when you're dealing with a makom mitzvah, right, having music at a wedding, that like Simchas Chasa Mekala, so the Machaber and the Rav Yoh and the Tur, they were all lenient, right? Of course, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to rely on this heter, you would have had to financially arrange it before Shabbos. There's a limit to how far a heter can go. In fact, you want to know how far you can limit the heter? Only up until the end of the line. Because the Ramah, the Ashkenazic posek, jumps up and he says, no. The practice in his time was only for a wedding. Why? Because, you know, Jews don't know how to fix instruments. Jews know how to be doctors and lawyers. They know how to do accounting, but they don't know how to fix musical instruments. And so he says, for the most part, you're not going to come to a situation. This is not me, it's the Rama, right? So, but then Mishnah Berurah says, no, no, no. People used to get married where? In the shul. You don't play music in the shul. Mishnah Berurah says, we don't do this. And therefore, and then the Mishnah Berurah adds, in the name of others, that we never allow music to be played on Shabbos and Yontif, even by a non-Jew. The Aruch HaShulchan, now we're dealing with the turn of the last millennia, so he turns around and he makes the following statement. He says, "V'gam bizmanenu," he says, "in our time, lo shamanu heter zeh afilu lomar le'eno Yehudi le'nagin b'klishir b'Shabbos le'chavut chasam v'kala." He says, "in our days, nobody does this. Nobody allows the Nachri to play music. U'b'chol ha'medinos no'agim iser b'zeh." In all places, they're strict about this. And certainly, right, if you tell the guy to do it, that's not the right thing to do, right? And don't tell a guy to come on Erev Shabbos, don't make the arrangements on Friday that he should come on Shabbos. It's the wrong thing to do. And just because I don't like to leave out the Sfardi poskim, so you should just, lest you think this is just the Ramah talking, and this is just the Erev HaShulchan speaking from the Ashkenazi side, if you look at the Ben Ish Chai, right, and in Parsha Shoftim, he says that our minhag is, he says, for many generations, the practice was to hire non-Jews to go and help the Hatan and accompany the Hatan as he was going to Shabbat Hatan. But, he says, Utehilos lekel yisbarach, kodem kama shanim nisbatol minhag zel legamri. Thank God they got rid of this minhag. Why? So the author of the Stechemed, Reb Chaim Medini from Chevron, very good. And when he talks about Mareches Chasam Akala, Osiyud Gimel, so he quotes, he says, now all over Am Yisrael, the minhag Ashkenazim, Sfardim, etc. is, you can't even hire a non-Jew to go ahead and play music for you on Shabbos. Why? He says, because we got to be concerned over here, whether it's because we have to be careful because there are enough people who say that it's usher, or it's because we're worried because everyone just doesn't care about Shabbos anyway in my time. Bismanenu, Babonoseno, Harabim, Rabu Portze, Gedera Torah, too many people. If we allow non-Jews to play music, where Jews are going to start playing music, then everyone's going to look for a magical loophole. It's not really music. The father always tells the children, you got to stop playing that stuff. Right? Doesn't matter what generation it is. The next generation is not cool music. So the bottom line is that already by the time the 1900s kicked in, people did not allow non-Jews to play music, even if you set it up from before Shabbos. They didn't allow people to play music. And what about using a radio or a telephone? So Rav Ovadia Yosef, remember, the Sfardim started off on the Mekel side. Right? Rav Ovadia Yosef turns around in Shavas Tshuvas Yabia Omer Chelek Gimel in the Or HaChaim section in Simen Chavtas. So he comes along and he says, I have to tell you, it's certainly not mutter to go ahead and play music through a telephone or a radio or a recorder on Shabbos, right? And certainly Yontif is like Shabbos as far as this issue is concerned. He says, what about clapping, right? Which is similar to your question before, Aryeh. He says, clapping is not such a big deal. Why? Because how do you fix your hands, right? Like, the whole issue was, you may come to fix the instrument. Which instrument are you going to fix, right? So he says, there was more room to limit it, right? However, he says, why do I have to make a big deal out of this? He says, because in my day, there was a Rav Masas, right? The Ma'ari Masas, who said on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can flip on the radio. There's no Shaila. It's incredible. He says, you know what the problem is? He didn't know how the radio worked. If he would have only bothered to understand how the radio worked, he says he would realize that there's no basis for the heter whatsoever, right? And so therefore he says, one who doesn't recognize, he says the only thing you can do to save Rav Masas, because if you rely on that, you don't understand where you're coming from.
What about raising or lowering the volume of the radio?
So again, he has a problem with the issue. He says maybe there's room to be lenient, maybe not. We'll talk about that at another time. We'll talk about alarm clocks, but not tonight. But all of those things, what's the problem? All of those things come back to Aaron's point before. That what? With this is a gzeira, lest the person come to do a malacha. In our case, what malacha is the guy going to do? It's already not Shabbos for him anymore. So So first of all, you have to remember something. Some of the rest of you came along and pointed out what one of the malachas might be. And what's that? Forget about him. The people who may come to answer the phone. Whether you musically put it into that, the phone becomes your instrument, Shema Yisak and Klishir. And so maybe...
Phone should be unplugged before Shabbos, regardless of whom the guy in Israel or
I'm sorry?
California. Then your phone should be unplugged before Shabbos.
So if a person's going to come to a situation where he might come to answer the phone, right? Or, you know, you have 1,000 people in the house for Shabbos, right?
Everybody answers the phone during the week.
Huh? As soon as you pick it up, you've ruined
the song. Well, so again, but Pete, how many times does it happen? So there are many poskim who said that is your cliche. That phone becomes your cliche.
Okay.
By the way, it's not only a question about the Yisakin cliche. It would be true for the Divrei Torah as well. And even for the off-key singing of, happy birthday, but you can't pick up the phone because it's still Shabbos for you. If you hear the first one, you hear the phone ring. Who knows? How often does it happen? I can't speak for the rest of you, but if you have parents who live overseas and the phone rings on Shabbos and you freak out, right? So, you have to think twice, and as far as things go, that may be a very big issue for us to listen, And I can't say we're all innocent here. I certainly have the same nisayon that you do. We're quite lucky. So, in the lucky thing for me is these are all new shilas, right? Whoever thought of these types of things, right? So the answer is who thought about it? The Gedolim in 1970s, right? Rabbi Yaakov Reich, the author of the Chelkas Yaakov in the 70s, he got a shaila from people in Switzerland. There were companies in Switzerland that wanted to know. These are the days before internet stores. It's incredible what people, the foresight that these poskim had, right, that led to the understanding that gave us the basis to understand certain technological issues that come up with having like an e-store or like what do you know, if I go to Eichler's on Shabbos, right, let's say I go to Eichler's and they're having the big tzitzis sale, right? So can you imagine? It's Shabbos for them and I order tzitzis. Can I, isn't that a violation of Hilchos Shabbos? So we'll talk about that. Maybe next year we're going to spend some time instead of life cycles. We'll try to do technology stuff. A lot of people are upset with the death part already. So maybe that'll be one of those subtopics we'll break apart. But this is a big issue, these e-stores. Well, before there were e-stores and the internet, in the 70s, they were answering machines. And what would happen is people would call into the company, and they'd say, I need this and this amount of stuff, and bill it to this and this credit card, and the order would come in on Shabbos. And so the question came to Rabbi Bryce, can we leave an answering machine to take the orders on Shabbos? And guess what he said?
No.
Why not?
Because
my business is not open on Shabbos. I say on the message very clearly that these orders are not here. Nobody's here to take your order. If you want, you can leave the order here and we'll process it on the next business day. So, when am I gaining from it? Only after Shabbos. You see, that's the difference between that and say the internet, where maybe the credit card gets processed right away, which it doesn't anyway. But like I said, we'll get to that at another time, right? That's the famous Bracha Shechta question.
From having a machine on Shabbos, if you didn't have the answer machine on, you wouldn't get the order on Shabbos.
So what? But I got the order on Shabbos, and I don't even.
You're not doing a malacha. You're not.
Yeah, so why can't we say the same thing?
So
Yossi says it should be mutter, right?
I don't know why not.
Yossi says he doesn't know why not. I want to point out to you, guess what Rabbi Bryce says? Guess what Rabbi Bryce says? He says, I can't point to my finger and tell you why it should be usher, except for one problem. It's the loose of the Shabbos. He says, it's an embarrassment to the Shabbos. Everyone knows that you're doing business, that you call in, you leave the miss, you're inviting people to violate Hilchos Shabbos. And Zilus of the Shabbos is a serious issue. 1977, Reb Moshe Feinstein learns about this tiny little thing called the timer, right? And so the Shaila comes to Reb Moshe Feinstein, right? And he says, people want to know, what can I do? Can I set up a crock pot to go on Shabbos, right? And the challenge gets a little bit stale, you do it beforehand. So he wants to know, can I set up a cooking element, right, to cook on Shabbos? I set it on Friday, right? And it goes on Shabbos. And then by the time Shabbos lunch comes around, fresh, right? And I can do it with less water, so I don't have to worry that the challenge 1 week will not be a little too watery. I have to wait till it gets that nice tasty consistency, right? I said, can you do it? I'm not doing anything. You said, in the immortal words of the infomercial, you said it and forget it.
You're
but
leaving your chilling on your countertop all Shabbos.
Yeah, so we'll call it chilling. We'll call it raw chicken. Right? I'm saying that's better. But whatever it is I'm setting up, this was the situation where Moshe was...
I don't want to leave it on Shabbos. Why is it
using
them lights? Setting the time on.
Very good. Sir Moshe turns around and he says, in my opinion, as far as doing this is concerned, and he's writing to his son... his grandson, Rabbi Yosef Tandler, and he says, you go back and tell your brother, my nephew, Aaron Baruch, he says, I want you to know that you shouldn't do this, because if you did this, then they're going to start setting everything to timers. And all the factories, he says, V'cho batei charoshes, and in parentheses, Ramosha is one of these really difficult Hebrew words until you discover that it's factories, right? So he says, "Ein lechazilzel gadol mizeh leshabbos mizeh." If you have we can automate factories. Think about it. There's no malacha, right? No, my business will keep working. It's all going to work on the basis of robots and all this other stuff. And he says, "Ubarashim hayazeb bismana tanoim ba'amoraim hayu osrin zeh." Ramosha says, "One second." Ramosha says, "If this were during the time of the tanoim and amoraim, they would answer it just like they said Amir al-Akum was a problem." Now, what's the problem with Amir al-Akum? They were worried that if that's the case, people will just go around. The Shabbos won't mean anything. You'll have your appointed guy, and you'll tell him, now go do this, now go do this. You'll have your business open with one guy next to you.
What happens if the guy is a one-seventh partner of business?
Much longer question. Much longer question, very difficult question. There are certain times that we might allow it. Certainly it was much more prevalent in 40 and 50 years ago than you'll find it today, right? But not very much appreciated.
Well, Mishnah, the Gemara talk about melacha being done on Shabbos by your machinery for it, like leaving them to die?
We have something called Adam being a Nizar and Shvisas Kalev. So Ramosha says the big question over here is that it's going to lead us to a situation of Zilusa de Shabbos. And he says, and this is, listen to this language, he says, something that creates a situation of Zilzul B'Shabbos, right? He says it's going to be a problem, right? He says, Avo yesh tam gadol leso mitam acher, deha zilusa de Shabbos, right? It's going to be an embarrassment to Shabbos, and so anything that causes an embarrassment to Shabbos, it's going to be a problem. So he turns around and he says, exactly what Tehillah asks. He says, oh, so why'd I allow it by lights? He says, He like spins around and spits nickels to try to explain why it was that only for lights, which anyway, Ramosha seemed to understand that the Shabbos clocks were like the shul, right? We have Shabbos clocks in the shul also. But I'll tell you a secret. We have Sunday clocks and Monday clocks and Tuesday clocks and Wednesday clocks and Thursday clocks. It's said all the time. Our Shabbos clocks work all week long. Someone was asking me the other day about, clocks that he sets for other things in his house. So Ramosha says, only on Shabbos, only for the light, because otherwise the people would sit in the darkness, and really I would prefer, if it were up to me, I wouldn't rely on this, and Ramosha is the basis of the head of Shabbos clocks, by the way. But my father also always told me, and that to be raised in an environment, to understand that there is a Zilusa de Shabbos over here, that you have to be concerned that there's going to be an embarrassment to Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos are going to disappear. And so therefore he says he limited the scope that he allowed the use of the Shabbos clock. So if that's the case, then maybe over here also, the limiting the scope of the fact where you're going to come to a situation where people are going to say, oh, it's going to be the new shtick that the brother-in-law, the uncle, crazy uncle's going to call it in on Shabbos afternoon, or the opposite, Friday night, or call from California to your Friday night meal, right? Because he'll get it right on his way out. So this is going to lead to all sorts of problems on Shabbos. And so therefore, he says he thinks it's a problem. Rav Zilberstein, when he passed in the Shaila in the second volume of Haravna, he also thought, he said, I don't like this idea. He wasn't so crazy about the idea, but he also thought the primary reason was the problem of Zilusa de Shabbos. Now, let me take a step back for a moment, because as I'm thinking about the Shaila, I realize that this is a part of a much bigger discussion that I have with Rabbi Teitz all the time. I only have a right to pass in Shabbos in this community because Rabbi Teitz gave me a heter to do so. He's the Rav, Aposek, and therefore, if he's mekel on something, I certainly don't feel a problem telling people, go ask him, right? So like I always say, there are certain things that you, if you have questions, don't come ask me, right? One of them happens to do with timers, right? People here often ask me if I set my, chalim pot to a timer. What does that mean? Not to put the food in chalila. That's a huge problem. I think even Rabbi Tides will say that's a huge. I don't think I know. That's a huge problem. Let's say it's the summertime, and I know already that it's too hot, right? And if I leave my chalim pot on all Shabbos afternoon, my house is going to need to work that much harder in order to have the air conditioning. I don't need the chalim pot on. I don't need the plata on. So at 2 o'clock, I arrange off the Shabbos clock that the Shabbos clock should turn it off. So I was raised with the understanding Ramoshis is only for lights, and so therefore, I don't allow such a practice in my home. My wife doesn't do such a thing. I don't do such a thing. And none of my kids do such a thing, right? However, others in the community have told me that if you ask the Rav, so Rav Teitz will tell you that that might be okay. Similarly, so in the winter, there is a fall in the winter, there's a certain aspect of sport life called college basketball, and in the fall season, it's called college football. And I believe college football games are almost always played on Shabbos, and there are a lot of the college basketball games that are played on Shabbos. So people often ask, can I, well, in my day it was, can you videotape it, right? Or can I DVR it? Can I set the DVR to do it, right? And so again, based on what I was taught, again, the answer should be, right, but, of course, that's not the psak necessarily you would get. So, therefore, the psak I give people is, go ask Rabbi Teitz. Right? Because, again, there's a different... Ramosha's whole concern over here is Ilusa de Shabbos. If I understand Rabbi Teitz correctly, he says, what's the zilzul of Shabbos? What's the embarrassment to Shabbos? If you're watching the game on Shabbos, he felt that was being an embarrassment. But the DVR, so what's the problem? My problem is you're setting a timer. And Ramosha says, timers only go for this. Rabbi Teitz says similarly with the hot plate, with the chalim pot. He says, what's the zilus of the Shabbos? You're not doing anything. It goes off on its own. And why is it going off? Because you pressed the button on Friday. So Rabbi Teitz was a little bit more makel, if I remember. It's just not the way I was taught to use a Shabbos clock. And so therefore, that's the way it goes. So taking this farther, if we put this all back to the original question, it would seem to suggest that as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, can you ask a non-Jew to play music for you on Shabbos? No. Can you ask a non-Jew to turn on the radio? No. So what does this do for our Shaila? It would sound like it would be a question of Zilus the Shabbos to go ahead and have a Jew do it, even though for the Jew it's... So some people say, okay, but maybe it's not Zilus the Shabbos anymore. Like, for him it's not Shabbos, and it's just enhancing the Simcha.
Yeah,
so
you have the same thing in Israel on the second day.
Baruch Hashem! So I'm good. Baruch Shekivanti. Marvin and I sit close enough together that our brains slowly and surely are mashing together. So I'm sitting there going through the materials, and I said, I still don't feel comfortable putting it together. So Marvin says, wait a second. Libi b'mazrach lani b'toch ma'arav. Marvin says, my heart's in the east, even if I'm sitting in the west. And I say my heart's with Marvin, because one day in the future, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to build our yeshuv right outside of Yerushalayim. It's going to be called Hillside. It's based on a pasuk, Yerushalayim Harim Saviv La, right? Hillside, right? And we're all there. And I just called, my wife and I have called the house next to Marvin and Lynn. You go can find your own places in the neighborhood, but the house next to Marvin and Lynn are ours, right? We have, you know, so when that case comes around, Marvin's going to say, don't you remember we used to talk about Yom Tov Sheni? Right? Yom Tov Sheni shall what? Go ahead. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about while I'm in Israel on the second day.
Of?
Of any of the...
I thought you were going to give me a better... something more. I said to myself, forget about the second day of Pesach. Because the second day of Pesach, if he's doing for himself and he's going to add for me, maybe he's not. How about the following situation? How about Sukkos? How about the last days of Sukkos? Right? It's a classic example. Right? What happens for us? What's the last day of Sukkos for us? Not really Sukkos. We call it Simchas Torah, right? But when did the Israelis celebrate Simchas Torah? On the day that we call... Yeah, by the way, if you walk up to an Israeli, he's talking about Shmini Atzeres, he looks at you like you have four eyes. Like, what is this, some sort of Chutznik holiday? Is that like Thanksgiving and Father's Day? Right? You know, they've never heard of Shmini Atzeres, right? Because they don't... There's no Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios. They have Sukkos, they have Simchat Torah. And you're like, yeah, we have that, but it's a day later. No. Today is Simchat Torah. But you know what they do have a minhag to have? The day after their Simchat Torah, there is a minhag to have hakafot shniot. So the shaila comes up, can and often what happens is that they have guys who show up and
they play
music, right? Is there a problem participating if they're playing, right? There's always some guy who rents out the entire Gana Pamon. This has been going on since I was a kid, right? Gana Pamon is Liberty Bell Park. Believe it or not, my first year in Israel, I stayed in a place that was quite prophetic. There's a Rehov there called Rehov Pinsker, and there's a building there called the Pinsker Building. And little did I know when we spent the summer there that one day I was going to be in a community that's called the Pinsker Community. But there, you go down a hill, and you're in Gana Pamon, right? So you go into Gana Pamon, and if you go for a sukkah on this day, known as what we call Simchas Torah, the Israelis are dancing up a storm. They're going wild. Right? Can I participate? They have a band there.
Why not?
Shemi Sak and Klishir. Based on everything we've said so far, I can't have the Israeli do it, right? Because if I participate, maybe I'm going to come. Huh? Very good. So the author of the Yom Tov Sheni Kelcha, so happens to be a former relative of mine. So he writes, Rabbi Fried, she continued to be well. So he writes in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says very, very clearly, of course you can go. What's the Shaila? Why is the Israeli playing the music? Because it's HaKavosh Shneos. However, listen to this language. Right, aval, and this is Rav Shlomo Zalman, as cited by Rabbi Frieding, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Kelchaso, aval kvutza shel bnei chutz la'aretz hanimtzaim be'eretz Yisrael. But let's say you have a bunch of guys who are bnei chutz la'aretz, right, and they happen to be in Israel. Asur lahem lazmin ben eretz Yisrael o nachbi lizamer bavuram b'kli zamer. He says very clearly, they can't invite an Israeli for whom it's not Yontif. Why? Because you have to be concerned for yourself. Shemi Yisak and Klishir. So what does this do for us? It's now I have it clear. Even though it's not Yontif for the Ben Eretz Yisrael, just like the guy in New York, it's not Shabbos for him. But he can't do for the people in California because the Gezeirah still applies. And so ergo, what did we learn? We spent a lot of time so far talking about all the issues of Hashma Askol, and that was a good pickup boy, right? Your parents should be very proud of you, whoever those people happen to be. And we learned that maybe that phone call with those Divrei Torah, right, on Shabbos, maybe the first Divrei Torah you should have is, don't answer the phone, right? And besides, before you get to that thing, maybe you shouldn't call in the first place. That's a Shaila that, may potentially create a problem. Right? Certainly waiting to sing the beginning of the happy birthday song until you get to the point, but you can't pick up the phone because it's Shabbos by you. That's something that should be avoided. We also pointed out that even a Ben Eretz Yisrael who wants to play music, he's gonna pick up a couple of bucks. You know, all these Israel programs, they want their boys. They don't want their boys hung out, strung out in Gana Pamon. It's too early in the year, these Shana Aleph boys, right? So you bring them back to your yeshiva and you have kafas in the yeshiva and you tell them, oh, it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a band. It's not so simple. Not so simple you're allowed to have a band. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, no way. I want to say Jose, but usually the guy who's playing the band is not Jose, right? No way Shlemi, right? Shlemi can't come and play. If he wants to play in Chevron Yeshiva, then he can, right? If you want to go over to any of the, then you can. But to do it this way, that would be a big problem, and it would be recommended against.
Is it only we're talking musical instruments?
In this situation, we've been to our, as far as we're concerned, anything you're going to use is going to be a musical instrument. Can he come and sing and dance and clap his hands? Sure, he can come and dance and clap his hands, no problem.
No, but outside the music.
You're talking about can he cook for you? Just for you?
Yeah.
He can't, so again,
not
if
Shabbos,
he's. If for him it's not Shabbat, well, again, if he's doing malacha that you can't do, he can't do it for you.
No,
so
but
so yeah. Okay, but then again, he can do it if it was Yantif for him too. That's Ochel Nefesh.
Uh-huh.
Different ballgame. Okay, Rabosai, so that is the major question. Should we attack one of the other two, or should we call it a night? So just to remind you what the other two are. So we have three choices. Choice number one, talk about why yeshivas are allowed to make dinners, or are they allowed to make dinners. Choice number two is the day off from school. And choice number three is let's call it a night and save those two for another time. Okay, so I think we'll stop here and Bezos Hashem, we'll save those for another point in time. And Od Chazon, Amoe, don't have a yeshiva dinner if you're worried about it until you get the secret answer to the question. Okay, thank you very much.